special meeting this evening for the Woodway City Council on homestead exemptions. The time is now 5:30 p.m., and so we will open the meeting right at 5:30. Thank you all so much for being here. The first item on the agenda is our invocation. If you would, please bow your heads as we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this time together. Thank you, Father, once again for the opportunity to serve this wonderful city. We ask, Lord, for your guidance and your wisdom as we discuss this agenda item. And we ask, Father, that you would be honored with our actions tonight. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity once again, and thank you for this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Item number two is our Pledge of Allegiance. If you are able, please rise as we give pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, item number three, and our only item for individual discussion and consideration this evening, is discussion and consider action establishing a tax exemption amounts, if any, for general homesteads, residents 65 years of age and older, and or disabled residents, and adopting ordinance 23-06 in conformity therewith. May I have a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All right, before we get started on this item, just a couple of points for you to consider before I ask our city manager to fill us in on some details. I'm going to start off with Dr. Oubre to give us some details to fill in some of his comments. And then I'm going to open it up for public comments, and I'll give the public their 3 minutes to address council. And after the public has had a chance to give their comments, we'll close that time, and then council will discuss and decide what we want to do as far as action is considered. Just so we have some order and so we know exactly how we're gonna tackle this one item. So does that make sense to everybody? Great. We'll just keep that. Okay, so one more thing. We're only discussing this item. So it's got to be related to tax exemption amounts. We're not going to talk about specifics regarding the budget because there is going to be a separate budget meeting later on in July. So I just want everybody to be aware that this is posted. This meeting is posted just for the homestead exemptions. So all of our discussion has to be centered solely on that item. Just a few housekeeping items there. Okay, over to you, Mr. Manager, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Just a few notes to go over. I think some of you already had this information. We were asked to post this meeting for our discussion on homestead exemptions. The reason why I couldn't wait until the next meeting is because you have to supply the county by July 1st. If you make any changes to the current exemptions. So currently the city gives a 65 years of age and older or disabled up to $20,000. In the homestead discussion, it could be any percentage up to 20%. And if that exemption does not calculate out to at least $5,000, then it automatically goes to $5,000. All residents that declare a homestead exemption will qualify, and those that currently qualify for 65 years of age and older, or disabled, whichever one they choose, also will have the ability to claim this homestead exemption. As well as veterans. Clinton County Appraisal District says that we have 2,976 homes in the city of Woodway that are currently registered receiving some type of homestead exemption by a different taxing entity. The Appraisal District says that we have a total of 3,739 single-family residences within the city. And I don't know why there's a difference. and you may never know why there's a difference, but some of the reasons could be that the home is not owned by somebody in the state or an individual that would receive an exemption. The homeowner may claim an exemption on a property somewhere else in the state by their choosing. Or the owner may have failed to file for that exemption on their own. And if that is what happens, then a homeowner has the right to, when they file for that, their applicable exemptions, they can go back up to 3 years and recapture that. And that's a discussion they have with the appraisal district. Right now, for comparisons, we don't know what the tax rate will be. And I say that based on how the exemption or exemptions influence it. We don't know what the no new tax rate will be or the voter approval tax rate. And we won't know that until the end of the month when the rolls become certified and issued to the city. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Manager. Okay. Council, we'll have time to ask questions, and Ms. Hernandez is here as well from the finance office to answer questions as well. So we'll have a chance to get all our questions answered as part of the discussion. Well, let's open it up for public comments. And so if anybody would like to address council or say anything, please come up to the podium. We'll have 3 minutes. You can see on the screen there your time, and then we'll move on. So just please state your name when you come up to the podium so we can record your name. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Janine Woodward. I'm at 530 Mountain Lane Drive, and I understand now this is just an exemption. But I know you're going to be figuring the tax rates and the budget. So that's what my, what I want to talk about. And I'll start. The U.S. Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes once said taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. In Texas, we have the sixth highest property tax burden in the United States. Property taxes have increased approximately 181% in the last 20 years alone. A study by Texas Public Policy Foundation found that from 2009 to 2019, Texas' total property tax burden exploded by 199%. These tax bills have grown faster than the average taxpayer's ability to pay for them. In fact, when every tax is tallied, federal, state, and local income tax, property tax, Social Security tax, sales tax, excise tax, and others, Americans spend about 30% of their income in taxes each year. We pay taxes on our wages, then we pay sales tax to spend our wages, then we pay income tax on money already taxed and yearly property taxes that are based on unrealized gains after paying sales tax on said property we purchased. We truly do not own our homes when they can be taken away for inflated property taxes that become so high we're unable to pay. Many of the residents in Woodway are senior citizens living on a fixed income and watching their retirement investments grow smaller as the stock market continues its losses and food and gas prices keep rising. Yes, there are some wealthy residents that live in Woodway, but we all are wealthy and many of us are getting by with the same income, yet all of our expenses continue to rise. I haven't had a wage increase in my job in 4 years. And my husband's income has pretty much stayed the same also. It seems that schools and cities like Woodway want to include the most upscale and modern amenities at taxpayers' expense. With the U.S. economy in a recession, it's the wrong time for tax hikes and spending increases. Whether it's the city, county, school district, or any other government type, raising taxes today is bound to hurt citizens even more. The property tax system is broken. It allows governments to continuously shift blame for rising property tax rates. The appraisal district points to cities, counties, and schools for the rates, and those same entities then discussing the city budget and in considering the property tax rate, I hope you will consider the residents who are struggling to cover their ever-rising living expenses.
Thank you, Mrs. Woodard.
Please consider a no new revenue rate with the cost of living price here. So this is not the time for tax or spending increases. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments on item number three? Yes, sir. Name, please.
Norm Hoffman in Western Oaks. Oh, wow. I will not be the favorite person here tonight, but my accounting background leads me to a conclusion on the math results of these possible new exemptions being discussed. First of all, I think the move last year to give seniors an additional $20,000 exemption was wrong. I am a senior, obviously. Noting that Woodway is 50% inhabited by seniors, all we did was pass on more of the tax burden onto the businesses and those younger than 65, and started a possible period of exemption entitlements. What we really want is for more younger homeowners and businesses to move to our city and to continue the growth of the city. This year, per the proposed budget, we have to fund the $13 million. No matter how you cut the cake, it's got to be funded. That amount in the equation becomes the dividend and will change only slightly as we prepare the new budget. As we grant exemptions, all we do is lower the divisor in that equation, and the quotient, that is the tax rate, gets higher. It's a crazy cycle. We still have to fund the $13 million. Granting and raising exemptions sounds great and is politically popular, but all it does is move around the tax burden that has to be calculated if we want to live here. Those that lose in these gifts of exemptions are those who do not qualify, such as renters and businesses. Where do the exemptions stop? I have an idea. Maybe next year we can get homeowners that have owned their homes 25 years or longer a bigger exemption. Or maybe we can give single mothers an exemption. It just goes on and on. It doesn't stop. It's the federal government, and here we are at the city level. Maybe the prior city manager, Yost Zachary, had the right answer. The $10,000 exemption that was in our tax code for many years and worked was the only fair way to handle things. With no one getting special treatment. Am I happy to pay property taxes? Not really. But if that is the cost to live at the great city of Woodway and be protected, I'm grateful because not everyone can live here. I stipulate that the $20,000 exemption for seniors should be rescinded, and thus the tax rate would be lower because the taxable valuation number gets larger. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other public comments, please?
Bruce, same one. 1507 Wandering Trail.
Thank you, sir.
Sean, I don't know if you're... This $5,000, that's the minimum, not the maximum.
Correct.
Yeah, so it's maximum. Okay. Gentleman just spoke. According to the census, over 65 in Midway, in Woodway, over 65 is 22% of our population, not 50%. Anyway, my look at this is everybody shouldn't be treated equal. Everybody is not a homeowner. There's renters, there's owners, there's businesses. This is a two-pronged thing. One, let's vote in the general homestead exemption. And number two, tomorrow, later, whatever, then picking them out. But this is something I think has been around for 20-some years. I think the homestead exemption goes back to Ann Richards, George Bush as governor, maybe. And so what we have now is inflated, and for the last several years, forced appraisals from Austin, putting the appraisal districts under pressure to to come up with 90 to 95% of the value of the property. Well, they're creating the market. They're not picturing it. They're not telling us what it is. They're creating the market by these appraisals. So, I mean, there's liberals, conservatives, but there's also common sense, and that's where you meet in the middle. So, in real estate, what we call, you know, what the highest and best use, right? Okay. Well, most houses in Woodway right now, we've got more houses at a higher value than in the history of Woodway. We also have more houses under construction, waiting in the wings. Like the last one meeting, we had 6 or 8 pictures of the houses under construction. The houses that are being built in Midway, I keep saying that, Woodway, are not starred homes. These are million-dollar houses. So I think you should not have any qualms about granting this, because we're only going up and we're only getting bigger and better. And if you vote in the homestead exemption, that gives us a little bit of a battle against the inflated appraisals, and that's all this stuff. And if the state didn't want us to do it, they wouldn't be doing it themselves, and we may still get $100,000 exemption off of our school taxes. But if that can agree what they're doing, so anyway, there's a lot of things to consider. I'm saying two-pronged. Let's vote it in so that we can take something, and then we can always back into it. And so what if we go up a little?
Thank you, Mr. Hamlin.
And the tax rate, we were $1 million plus last year.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other public comments, please?
I'm Dwight Boss, 8024 Silver Circle, Woodway. And my deal tonight is to simply say thank you for doing this. Now, I've got plenty to say when we talk about the budget, but I appreciate the courage y'all showed last year, and I appreciate y'all taking the time to do this. And I can tell you absolutely positively, whatever you come up with, I'm going to agree with. And I don't have any opinions again. But I do want you to know, and I want to take the time tonight because I don't want to waste my time next meeting. This is an unusual year, and a lot of people don't realize it. Number one, Mr. City Manager, you're going to be shocked at the number of people who don't have a homestead exemption. The largest one I've seen on the appraisal review board this year is somebody came in from Woodway, and I told them they had a $770,000 house with no homestead exemption. Time and time again. I hope we would put something in Woodway today about how important homestead exemption is. The other thing is, thanks to what you did last year, a lot of homesteaders did not have a tax increase last year, even though they went up 30%. But they're not realizing, many of them, there's a 10% already on the books for this year because they had a 30% increase last year. They're going to get 10 of it last year, 10 of it this year, 10 of it next year. And those poor non-homesteaders and I can't say it, business folks that got the 30% increase last year, they're getting the 10% again this year because the increase is between 8 and 10%. And as the city manager said, we don't know where it's headed because they don't certify the road until July 25th. But I'm just trying to put in your head that everybody in Woodway is going to be affected as it is right now. And that's not been very true. I'll never remember a time quite like this. And if we can work some magic, I for one am going to be very happy. But again, I want to thank you for taking the time to look with regardless of where we come up with. And I appreciate the mayor trying to get more revenue on Highway 84 for us to cut down that property taxes. But again, not a small thing. I appreciate what you do, and I just want to tell you, we may disagree sometimes, but that never causes me to have less respect for what you do. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, sir.
Anybody else? Okay. Thank you all very much for your comments. We appreciate them very much. Thank you for taking the time to visit with us regarding this important issue. I'll close the public comments at this time and move into council discussion. So, Mr. Manager, anything further before we discuss?
No, sir. We're just myself and Ms. Hernandez are here to answer what question we can.
Okay, great. Dr. Avent, we started out with city manager comments, and we had public comments, and now we're in the council.
Now we can actually come.
Now we can, yes. Exactly. I know you walked in a few minutes late, so I just wanted to let you know.
Right now, if we can comment now, I've got a professorial comment that is quite brief. Folks, one of the reasons why our sales tax and our property taxes are so high is that we have chosen, along with us, I think some 8 other states, not to impose a state income tax. So that means we've got to pay for our schools through a property tax or through a sales tax. Now, my understanding is the federal government covers somewhere between 10 to 15% of the cost of running public schools. That's the free lunches and some of the technical training and that sort of thing. That's $1.08, maybe $1.10. So the rest of that has to come from taxes. And there's really only 2 good sources, sales tax or property tax. And that's kind of a grim reality. And the difficulty with the sales tax is you can't bump it up much above a certain level or you have all kinds of problems. So it's about as high as it can get. I'll end my comment there.
Thank you.
If it's okay, I've got a little bit to talk about.
Yeah.
I believe a good starting point for this discussion is the memo that our city manager sent out. It's an excellent report. Told about our average value is $443,103. It showed a breakdown on whether or not if it was homesteaded or not from a cost tax rate situation, where the tax rate would actually go up if it was homesteaded or be lower if it was not. The tough part about this memo is it makes the tax rate the same. So it's almost like, why would you want to put in a homestead if the citizens are not actually getting an advantage? I'm not supporting this. I have another plan. It's going to be a lot of math. That's one of the reasons we passed this information out. If we go to a $40,000 homestead exemption, we've got to figure the math on it, how it works out. And, you know, we tax on the $100 evaluation. So, like in our budget, I don't know if you've gotten to look at it online, but there was a recommended number of 40 cents, 0.3282 cents. The staff is very good. I'm sure it's right in, pretty close in line. So if we divide the 40,000 by 100, we get 400 taxing units. If we multiply the 400 taxing units by that amount, the 40 cents, you would come out with a tax savings for each property owner that has a homestead to $161.31, which is great. And we have to go back to what the city manager was talking about. There's 2,976 homestead homes in Woodway. We multiply that times 161, we would get $480,066.89. That would cost off our budget. But last year, we had a budget surplus of $955,082.89. We've got a proposed budget of $13,231,853. The emergency fund target that we try to go for is 3 months. So, you figure times 0.25, you would come up with a number of 3,307,963. Now, if you take our surplus that we have in our budget, I don't know if this made it on our sheet. Our surplus,
It's on this one.
There you go. It's 4 million.
Your surplus is just over $2 million.
$4,294,625. So we would have $986,302 more than our target. And we were talking about $480,000 to give this $40,000 homestead exemption. Now, I like to be bold, and sometimes I step on people's toes. I'm sorry about that, hurt people's feelings. But I'd like to ask for a $50,000 homestead exemption, because the numbers for that would come out the same way if you figure it. 50,000 divided by 100 equals 500 taxing units times the 40 cents, 0.328 cents, would be a tax savings of $201.64 for every homestead home. Times the 2,976 comes out to $600,083.61. Now, for the members that was here last year that we had the debate about the tax rate, and I'm totally with the lady that was talking about the tax rate, hindsight's 20/20, especially when it comes to numbers. We had a long discussion about cutting the tax rate by 2 cents. Each penny was worth about $160,000, so it was going to be $320,000. Well, now we see we had a surplus of 900-something thousand. It was right about one-third of the total surplus. That failure cost citizens a nice tax cut. I'm asking everyone to follow my lead and vote with me to give our citizens a homestead exemption. $50,000. The money is in the budget without hurting anything that we have.
A homestead exemption of how much?
$50,000.
$50,000.
Yeah, correct. And I just went over the numbers to give how much it would cost, and it would come out of the surplus. It would not come out of anything in the budget. So the money is there.
I just want to follow up. The math we used was a simplification method. Mm-hmm. If you choose to do a homestead, you can't do it by a flat number. You have to do it by a percentage.
Now, on my other taxings for school or whatever, it's not by percentage. It is by a flat number. You know, so many dollars taken off, $50,000. They're talking about $100,000.
Right, but
if it was a percentage, it would be a very unfair amount for $1 million homes versus $200,000 homes.
But the statute, paraphrased in the statute, is may offer an exemption up to 20% of a home's value.
Or
the $5,000 comes if, for our exercise, let's just say you gave 10%.
Right.
If their property calculation ends up being less than $5,000, then it goes to $5,000.
Is the city of Waco using a different system on that?
Well, it would seem to me if your average home price is, if I remember hearing that correctly a little earlier, it's in the neighborhood of $460,000 or $443,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you could approximate what David's talking about with a percentage of around 8-10%. Now that's half of what the maximum allows. But, you know, that would, I mean, if you want to strictly satisfy the percentage requirements, and you'd still be well within your, you know, the excess of the budget, you know, well over the reserves that we would hold back.
Well,
You said 8% would be, 8% of the average would be 35,448.
Yeah, I
so you're pretty
close. I think 10% would be a more real, more accurate figure to compare to your example.
Now, Ms. Brenda, you're the sharpest person in the room when it comes to numbers. I'm assuming, is there any way we can find out what is the evaluation of the 2,900 in the homestead homes? So when we figure 8 or 10%, we can see exactly how much the numbers come out and see if it will hit that 600,000.
I don't know. Do you have that information available? That's going to be hard to find tonight for us to make a decision.
Of the 2,900 homes, that is the average market for those homes is 442,000. As far as figuring out what the breakdown is of those homes,
individually
I would be able to figure that number.
29, what was the total?
2976.
76? Okay, let's see. Okay, you'd add two zeros to it, so it'd be $131 million in value. Does that sound right?
Well, right now, my exemption breakdown for those individuals is 160 million already. So if you're talking,
we're talking about the numbers are getting so large.
No.
And then we have to break it down to the actual tax rate. It can be done.
Yeah, Mr. Russell, while you're punching that in, while you're doing that calculation. Ms. Hernandez, what I would be curious about knowing, I really do not want to do anything that's going to inflate the tax rate. So given the budget that we've proposed for this upcoming year, is there an amount of a homestead exemption? Because I'd love to see if we could do that too. Is there an amount of a homestead exemption that would be feasible and not inflate the tax rate?
So, Mayor, can I pick up on what City Manager was saying? Now, I'm not a tax guru, so if you start quizzing me, I'm going to quickly get out of my depth.
Sure, sure.
But I can tell you this. When it comes to the city's exemption for 65 and older or disabled, you set an amount. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're accustomed to seeing. Mm-hmm. When it comes to school districts or the counties, it's the same thing. That's where the $40,000 come from. That's a different section of that tax exemption provision. When it comes to homesteads, you assess those as a percentage of appraised value.
Okay.
And then let's say you did a 1% homestead exemption. Well, everyone's entitled to a floor of $5,000, you know, depending on the value of their house. So if you've got a $600,000 house, 1% is going to exceed that.
But I can still ask Ms. Hernandez about the percentage. What percentage would be allowable? Mm-hmm. That wouldn't inflate the taxes.
That's right. That's the right question.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
I think our mayor's question is just critically important.
Well, so Ms. Brenda, what I'm asking, if you have the information, I don't want to put you on the spot.
No.
But you are good at what you do.
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, until the appraise rolls come out until July 25th, I won't know what that impact is or what a standard value is.
Okay. Okay.
When it comes to the no new revenue rate, it's gonna increase that to get to the same revenue as we did last year.
I see. Regardless of the percentage.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
And that's what the breakdown in the new city manager's email was trying to show you.
Yeah. No, that part I understood. I was just curious if there was an amount, that a percentage that we could give that would not inflate it as much. But you answered that. So whatever we decide tonight, we're doing with very limited knowledge of what it could do to the tax rate. Other than if we gave a percentage, it would increase it. We know that for a fact.
Well, the thing is, if you're calculating that amount like David was talking about, I mean, roughly $50,000 per home,
there appears to be an abundance in the reserves and the surplus to take care of that without raising the tax rate.
Yeah. The surplus that we're talking about is in the budget. In order to sustain any kind of homestead exemption percentage that we give, I imagine that surplus is going to get depleted year after year pretty quickly to sustain that kind of discount. So that's why I'm asking if there was an amount that we wouldn't have to tap into reserves. I'm trying to do it the best way that doesn't raise taxes and keeps our rainy day fund intact.
If you figure the 440...
But can I just ask Brenda to answer that if she knows it real quick? Because I want to get the answer.
Because, sir, at the end of the day, y'all set the tax rate, so we're going to get our tax worksheet from the appraisal districts that's going to show, hey, this is what the minimum revenue rate, this is the incremental rate. But y'all are going to decide what the tax rate is.
Understood.
So if y'all choose the minimum revenue rate, y'all choose to lower it, that's your problem.
Yeah. And if we choose, if we're able to lower the tax rate as a result of, you know, inflation and some other things going into this budget, that's awesome. That's great news. But
at the end of the day, if we go with the no new revenue rate, which is keeping it the same as last year, with the math, it is going to increase the tax rate. Is that
okay.
Your statement?
That's what I needed to know.
If you take the average, $443,103, you do 5%, that means that the average deduction will be $22,150. Of course, we've got it figured on the actual amount. If you do 10%, then of course it's going to be double, so it would be about $4,430 deduction. Is that right? $44,301 deduction, which would still get us pretty much in line with the numbers that we're talking about here. That would be the average.
Yeah. My hesitation is just I don't want to raise the tax rate.
You wouldn't be raising the tax rate
because the numbers are there.
No.
The math bears that out.
I mean, it's just like we were talking about last year. There was money there to reduce the tax rate.
You're talking about in the surplus.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it's going to deplete our surplus pretty quick because we have to sustain that. We have to sustain that discount. Nobody's going to repeal that homestead
exemption.
You would
still have a fourth in the surplus.
Just a fourth?
You'd have more than that, actually.
Well,
because the target amount.
That's my only hesitation. That's what
you know, this kind of reminds me, too, of when I was at the inauguration for Greg Abbott. And what he shared with the entire audience there, it's very simple, but it was profound, and it made a lot of sense. He said to the entire audience, he said, the money we have here in the state budget, that doesn't belong to us. It belongs to you. And when we lose sight of the fact that we're working here for the residents and we're trying to give them, listen, Woodway's been blessed. I mean, amazingly blessed. This city is remarkable how successful we have been in our management. And I accredit our manager to a great extent for that because we've had some wonderful years the past several years. I haven't been here long. But I can read the numbers. And I'm truly grateful for that. But the thing is, some of this needs to be recognized on behalf of the residents. And this is, you know, by virtue of what our state has provided us, a framework, it's exactly what we can do. And I'm grateful for the analysis Dave did because while it's a set number, not a percentage, you know, it's not difficult to morph that into a framework for a percentage. And even at 10%, you're lower than what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I think it's something well worth considering because you're not even coming close to jeopardizing anything having to do with the reserves.
And then, of course, we'll talk on the 24th about the budget meeting.
We got to talk about it then.
Yeah. And that's, I guess my point is we'll be able to make it.
Well, but what I hear Amin saying is that it, yes, it's okay for this year. We would be okay within our reserves for this year. But if we sustain that incrementally, I mean,
it'll still work.
Where would the money come from?
That's, I don't want to get into a budget discussion, but if we did use surplus to sustain us with the homestead exemption, I know you don't have the amounts, but to sustain it.
Well, that's a great question, Mayor. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Shaw, the local government code says we can't operate our business out of surplus. It can only be one-time expenses, so we would have to really analyze the budget and make it work. But the surplus is there for a rainy day when something big does occur, like when that winter storm happened in February 2021, we got a six-figure electricity bill that we had to do in the surplus for.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that was a one-time extenuating circumstance situation.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're talking about the surplus and what it's there for, but there's purposes for it.
We have almost $1 million in it over the 25% we should have in reserve. The 1 year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that we had a $100,000 surplus, we have put that money back plus.
Yes, sir. I'm not disagreeing with you there. I'm just saying if that's the case of funding, then we really need to get into the numbers to say, make sure that $1 million, for example, you're using, if we're paying for something, it has to be a one-time type of expense.
And, you know, also, too, there, I was looking over the, you know, the budget figures that were shared with us all. There are some things in there that I don't think are really critical.
Are we leaning into?
You know, like.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we're going to talk about at the meeting in July.
Well, it bears directly on the amount of money available to accomplish exactly what we're talking about.
Almost.
That's
right. I'll give you an example. Just one. That's all.
Okay.
There's a street sweeper in there for $310,000.
This will kind of veer into a budget discussion. That's what we're going to post for in July and have that conversation.
Okay, where are you going to get the money for these exemptions? And are we inflating our budgetary expenses relative to underappreciating perhaps the income? I don't know. It's a valid question.
Great question for July 24th. We'll get to that then. I just want to make sure that we're staying on the posting here. Great comments, but we need to stay lasered in on this.
Well, I'd like to see the citizens get a decent homestead exemption.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all want to be against it or not, but I'm for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd love to give a good exemption too, as long as it doesn't cost us more money. Tax-wise, yeah. On the tax rate.
Can I offer a very brief word of comfort to this audience? As one of our speakers said, what we are doing is shifting the tax burden a bit. Okay? And I'm not sure I will agree with what this body agrees to as to the appropriate additional amount that that might reduce the income tax for some of you that are over 65. But that shift is not going to be an incredibly large amount of money. And also, I doubt if the level of property tax is a major influence in deciding whether people move to Woodway or not. Okay? And so I think we will chug right along here. And it won't be a perfect answer, and it certainly won't please everybody.
Just want to remind everybody, last year we cut almost 2 cents out of the proposed property tax. And we still ended up with $955,000 surplus from last year's budget. There's money there.
I just struggle because I feel like it's just in some ways semantics of where you're gonna take it from, either the tax rate or the exemptions.
Sure. Question for the manager. Do we have to set an amount tonight also?
If you don't set a percentage tonight, you have to, you force Ms. Barkley to call another meeting within 72 hours, and you keep pushing that deadline, and we got to hope we get the paperwork filed for you, so whatever you do.
All right, so the answer is yes.
But I would say this is your opportunity to do it, because I know people's schedule, and some of the people in this room won't be able to be here.
Okay, all right.
I'd be comfortable with 10% if anybody else is.
Yeah. I just don't know what that's going to do.
Well, we kind of have an idea of the numbers of 10%.
I feel like I'm...
It's very close to the $40,000 number.
I want to hear what John has to say.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. No. There were some very valid points that have been made to this point. And it's kind of hard to, you know, I'm kind of straddling the fence, so to speak. Because on the one hand, I'm probably the newest person to Woodway as far as this group is concerned. I've been here for about seven, almost 8 years now. And, you know, when I found out that there wasn't a homestead, I was like, wow, that's interesting, because I've never heard of that. You know, and I've worked in government for a long time, but this wasn't my bailiwick, if you will. And even having taught government, you know, looking at this in the state of Texas and seeing how it is and how it's run, I still thought it was a little bit strange that Woodway didn't have a general homestead exemption. But then looking at it a little closer, I understand why. I understand some of the things that have gone into how the budget is built, and what that budget is used for the city of Woodway. And at the end of the day, I kind of look at it that way. There's a proposed budget of $13 million, right? The question is, how do we fund that? And I think that was one of the comments that was made by one of the two speakers. Well, we have to use taxation as our mechanism, correct? And so the question is that $13 million going to actually get expended? Right. Because surplus is partially due to the fact that you budget 1 year. It's not about just the revenues that are coming in, but it's about how much money has been budgeted 1 year, and that 1 year is when it actually happens, when you start expending those resources, you may not spend as much money as you anticipated. So the question is, why didn't we spend that money? Was it because the price of doing business went down? We may have had 10 vacancies this year that saved us money. Next year, we may have zero vacancies. So the money that we saved previously because of those 10 vacancies, it's no longer there. So we can say we had $955,000 of surplus. We have to drill into that a little bit closer to determine, well, where did that surplus come from? And my concern is, if we take the surplus, when we go back to full operational strength, if you will, then technically that surplus shouldn't be there. You see what I'm saying? So we are not having a surplus because we're overcharging people, per se. It is what it is, as far as what the tax revenues are, the property tax revenues. It is what it is. And those monies are going to continue to come in. But we budget based on what we believe we need. And we expend what we believe we have to expend. We have surpluses because we don't always hit the mark. But in those years where we hit the mark, and sometimes we will go over. When you talk about buying vehicles and equipment, of course, I'm dealing with a lot of bigger dollars in the past, but there were times where I had over 5,000 pieces of equipment that I was responsible for, fleet services. And when fleet services had to buy police cars, we don't know when you're going to have to buy those police cars, right? But we have to buy police cars in huge bundles or fire trucks. Here you may buy one ladder truck in how many years? Well, we may buy five ladder trucks in 1 year. That's millions of dollars. Trash trucks cost $350,000 back then.
But don't we capitalize a lot of this going forward and...
100%.
Yeah.
You've got
the numbers are totally different for a lot of
people.
You know, the city of Indiana, is quite a bit larger than Woodley.
This is true, but my point being is this. When you need the money, you have to have budgeted for that money. And you need that money based on the fact that you make predictions on what you're going to need. If those vehicles don't need to be replaced, then you don't replace them, you have a surplus.
We enjoy many benefits. One benefit is we have quite a large value of a lot of homes in Woodway over, say, someplace like Hewitt, even though I have a lot more people.
David, I clearly understand that. And let me finish, please. I didn't say anything until everyone has finished speaking. So if you bear with me, I'm not a whole lot off of what you're talking about. Quite honest with you. And that's why I said I straddled the fence. Because on the one hand, going back to my discussion about the homestead, I'm shocked. I was shocked that Woodway didn't offer a general homestead. But on the other hand, I can understand why that was so. And it does get back to this idea of how do we take some of what we know we have today as a surplus and use some of that, while at the same time understanding that in the future that money might not be there, okay? And if it's not, we still have an obligation, right, to the citizens because we said we're going to give you that homestead. So if the numbers don't come in, then what do we do? Okay. I believe personally that we will be okay. But I think as Amin was saying, over time, there's an incremental cost associated with buying down, if you will, the surplus. And over time, we will find ourselves in a situation where we're going to say, whoa, wait a second. Do we raise the property tax now? Because now that property tax raise is going to be a little bit more significant. At the end of the day, we're talking about pennies on the dollar. But as I said before, a long time ago, you pay your taxes, especially someone who's on a fixed income, twice a year or once a year, you want to pay it. And it may only be $250. But if you have a $500 a month fixed income, I'm sure most of you have more than that, $250 out of that one-time payment is a lot of money, relatively speaking. So I understand that, okay? While at the same time, I do believe that some people, I'm one of them, will look at whether or not there's a homestead and determine whether or not they want to live in Woodway. And the idea is that Woodway needs to continue to explore how it's going to bring in a tax base that's going to support the incremental increases in what it costs to run a municipality over time. Because those of us who are going to, I'm getting close to being on that retired on a fixed income. And those of you who are already there can probably appreciate this. Yes, your investments may not have grown, but if you look at the Dow actually has a upward sloping trend over years, right? So you may lose a little bit here and there, but over time, if you've invested wisely, there's an upward sloping trend. And so I guess my point is, in summary, is that there's got to be a balance that we as a unit come up with to kind of help the folks who potentially need the help today, while at the same time looking toward the future and saying, you know, Woodway is trending older, right? And then it's going to hit an apex, probably, and it's going to trend down a little bit. The question is, what are we going to have here that's going to bring people in to sustain Woodway? And you may not think that cities die off or cities like Woodway go down. They do. Is because people don't want to come here anymore. And they look at certain things as to why do I want to live in Woodway? That's my only concern.
I appreciate it. What I was, sorry, jumping in there. We enjoy a lot of different advantages, but one, of course, is a lot of residential value, even more than Hewitt that has more people. Another thing we enjoy is having a city manager that does manage to hold down the numbers on what's spent And 2021, 2022, he spent $11,319,526. In 2022, he spent, 2223, he spent $11,153,232. Now, the difference between the budget and what he spent last year is $2,078,621. Mm-hmm. Not exactly the 955 surplus, but we've got a lot of room in there. Now, we don't want to get into budget issues because that's a different meeting.
Right.
But I did want to point out we show a 13% increase on the value, but in reality, we're closer to about 18.6. Yeah. Now, you could see some taking some of that fat out of that and give the citizens some cuts.
I don't disagree with you on that.
So, I mean, there's money there for it. And I'm just, I mean, I don't want to go into long detail. I just want to show you.
I don't disagree with you on that, David. What I'm saying is that how do we pay for it? Do we just take it from the surplus, or do we say, is there a happy medium, if you will, when it comes to, and I'm not necessarily saying I'm in favor of a tax increase, but as Mr. Hoffman was saying, we are going to, if we do it this way,
this wouldn't be a tax increase.
I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying is that
I love
numbers. Is there a way in which there could be a happy medium?
Right there.
Yeah. Well, that's one perspective.
Okay.
I'm not saying I disagree with you, David, on whether or not a homestead exemption is something that we should consider. I personally think we should consider it. The question is, how do we pay for it?
Last year, you know, we can look, hindsight's 2020 when it comes to numbers. Last year, we could have gave that extra cut and still had a surplus. Let's not make the same mistake. The numbers are here.
One question for Brenda, if you don't mind. Could you tell us one more time, a surplus expense can only be a one-time business item. It can't be used to sustain operations at the city. Is that what I understood? Okay, so whatever, even Mr. Russell's 10%, which I actually think is pretty reasonable, to be honest with you guys. I like the 10% idea. Even a 10% is going to raise our ad valorem tax rate.
Yeah. The only way to offset a homestead exemption is what Mr. Councilman Russell is saying. You offset it by spending less. And so you wash it out that way. And I know that's for a discussion in a different day because there's things in the budget that citizens called and asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And you may or may not like them, but citizens, you have to consider it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to be discussed later on. But the only way to zero value that or make a negative impact of that is you cut the budget, whatever that dollar amount is. Staff has a lot of input on why those numbers are looking like that or what the trend is. Councilman Mayor Pro Tem Williams touched on them a little bit as to some of those whys, and y'all will hear them at our next budget workshop on some of those whys. But the only way to make it to where you don't raise the tax rate to offset what the exemption is you cut the budget that dollar amount.
It's kind of unfortunate that we are having to have this discussion now before we have the workshop.
I know. Egg before the.
It's kind of unfortunate. I wish
the process, the discussion is needed for the process to occur because of the deadlines in the process.
And it's always hard because we don't know the value.
I know. I feel like I'm shooting in the dark with some of this stuff.
But I think we can do it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I included everything that was asked by the various department heads, and again, just on the city manager's point, what citizens asked for.
Yeah.
But it can be.
Okay. Okay, so
can I ask another question?
Please, yeah, go ahead. I'll get in line behind you.
Where does the proposed budget, how does it relate to not the actuals or what we spent, but how does it relate to projected revenues? So we
would that be the estimated?
Is that a budget
can
question?
We go there?
Is that too much of a budget question?
Sure. I understand the question.
Okay, so I'm saying that the proposed budget is $13,231,853. What are the projected revenues with regard to that? Because I haven't looked to and looked at that specifically.
Page 3 and 4. Sorry,
is that too? Is that too budget?
To me, when we talk about the budget, it's a loaf of bread. Question: where we can slice up?
Okay, well, this.
That's fine. When we start dissecting how big a slice we get.
Okay, that's not that kind of question.
But to answer your question, is on page 3 and 4 of the proposed budget.
Oh, I'm
that
looking at this book. I believe, and we're probably going to find out this later, but I believe we're talking
about
roughly about $500,000 in savings if we do the 10% because of the averages. Because if my numbers, well, my numbers are correct, if we did 40,000, which if our 10% of the average of 443 would be 44,000, my numbers show that it would be $480,000 cut from the city budget, and that's why I was saying that I think we could probably find that in there.
Well,
if that makes sense. I know we can't talk about it.
No. Great insight there. Here's a suggestion for us to discuss, because I really don't like making a decision like this without knowing what the end result's going to be. What if instead of making a decision on a homestead exemption for this year, what if we tackled the budget head on in our workshops? That way we can guarantee that we don't raise the tax rate, but instead we have conversations about where we can save money in our budget to guarantee a low tax rate. Because if we do it now and we find out, if we find out the surplus is locked up, if we find out we can't do something, I wonder if it would be safer for us to save citizen money at the budget level rather than at the homestead level.
I wouldn't mind hearing from some citizens. I know Dr. Reeder was just talking.
If we do a decision like that now, and it ends up raising the tax rate because there's something we didn't think about or something we didn't consider, that would be a real shame. That's what I'm trying to avoid as much as possible.
Is there any way we could hear from the citizens at this point? Now that we've had all this discussion, it gives them a little more information, and it would be nice to get their input on this one decision now or later.
I'll leave it up to council.
Before we do that, can I get a point of clarification from you? So you're saying if we look at the budget, try to save as much money as we can today, and then use that analysis for next year to look at the...
Well,
it would actually be the 24th of July
We look at it.
I'm talking about the homestead, because we need to make a decision before July 1st.
Correct.
As far as the homestead is concerned. And
so my suggestion was let's not pass a homestead exemption right now, and guarantee a lower tax rate at the budget level. Because if we pass one now and it turns out that we didn't see something or we didn't carefully consider something at the budget level, it could inflate the tax rate.
The other thing is this is a little rushed, as we know.
Yeah.
If we was to push it next year, we could give the citizens far more time
exactly
to let them know. But that's why we're saying, I'm thinking what you're saying is you'll let the council decide on whether or not to let the citizens give us some advisory right now.
Yeah, just because I want us to be sure to have a discussion.
I'm okay with the citizens.
And I'm okay with them talking.
I'd like to hear from them.
Okay. We're going to open up public comments again. Sir, 3 minutes if you'd like to come to the podium, please. And just state your name also, if you don't mind.
Hi, Philip Reeder, on Woodfall Drive. And I actually have a question. It's not a comment.
Okay.
The question is, I haven't heard what the impact of the increasing McLennan County Appraisal District appraisals will have on the revenue for Woodway with regards to this tax rate or any other considered increase or decrease tax rate. Because if you're talking about neutral income, based on what I know of the appraisal district appraisals for this year, it sounds like the tax rate would go down.
So, hang on, Mr. Manager. That's the budget meeting. Okay. Mr. Reeder, thank you for your question. That's a budget question. If you could come back, we want to get you that answer. If you could come back to the budget workshop, just so we can stay in line.
Or wait till after.
Yeah, I can use the rest of my time. But that does have bearing on a decision about any decision with regards to homestead exemption and the amount now, because it's been repetitively brought up. Concerns about the revenue for this budget.
If you, I don't know how much longer this will go, but maybe we should visit after. I might not publicly answer your question, but individually.
Perfect.
Yes, sir.
Bruce, so that we, a couple questions also, so that we feel like we did some good here. Can we have a motion to enact a homestead exemption and leave it open, or say that
I asked that same question.
Do a minimum $5,000 for everybody.
I asked that same question, and I think we have to decide everything tonight, right now. Okay. So.
So are we going to see a motion tonight, possibly?
We are. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Yeah. Were those all your questions, Mr. Hamlin?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be responding.
It's okay. I told you it's tough when you have this meeting before the budget.
Well, not only that, but this is just such a difficult issue. Yeah.
We just want to see how the sausage is made.
Messy.
Okay. Any other public comments before we move on? All right. Thank you all. Council, I'm open. My suggestion, or my only comment is, I want to do everything we can to not raise the tax rate. I don't know what the certified tax rolls are yet. I don't know what.
Of course, it's going to all vary by the time we get around next year.
But if we give, like you said, give enough lead time for next year, we may be able to.
That's the main advantage is being able to let the citizens know enough ahead of time and with us going through this year, we know a little bit more, like instead of doing a total number, it's percentage.
And we know more about what our surplus can be used for and what it can sustain and all that good stuff. So, Councilwoman?
I want to make sure everybody feels good. I do not feel great about making a rush decision on an actual percentage right now with all of the information that we do not have.
Yep. Mayor Pro Tem?
Well, I agree with that as well. I don't want to make a rush decision, but I do want to go back real briefly and looking at that revenue. I never did get that point out. Looking at that revenue projection versus the actual proposed budget, those numbers are the same, which made me think about what you were saying earlier, and David, and how the state kind of was a model that you spoke to. Well, the state of Texas, just like most of every other state, has a balanced budget, right? And that's how they go about doing business. They say, okay, our revenue projections are going to equal our expense or our proposed budget. And that's what we've done. And so if we live up to that next year, this year we'll be okay with the surplus, but next year we won't. So I just wanted to throw that back out there. Now, in all likelihood, we could have more revenues than projected, right? But the way the model is, I guess we're going to have to wait and see what the roles are, what the county says, and things of that nature, to really get a better understanding of what the revenue model is going to predict, right? But right now, you have a pretty good idea from a prediction standpoint, forecasting standpoint, of what those numbers are going to be. So if we balance the budget, build a revenue budget in accordance to what the law says we can do, and build an expense budget, those numbers are equal. If we spend what we budgeted, we won't have a surplus. This year, we'll be okay. Next year, unless property values go up higher than what we're anticipating, there may not be a revenue increase because we already factored in that. Correct, Brenda? We factored in what we expect revenues to be based on historical data.
Yes, based on historical data and the budget.
Correct.
And we factored what we expect revenues to be.
And we built an expenditure budget, proposed budget, that takes that into consideration, correct?
Yes, sir.
That's what I want to say. But I am in agreement with putting this off until we have a better conversation about the budget.
Okay. Thank you, sir. My goal, my hope is to one day be able to do a homestead exemption for everybody in Woodway.
I think Mr. Moss.
I think that'd be good. Sure. Yes, sir.
There, Dwayne Moss again.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to keep from saying anything, but I think the word we use again, that transparency. If you folks don't approve anything tonight, not a nickel, that doesn't keep you from lowering that tax rate in for the rest of this year. And I just think we need to do a great job of letting the public know what we did. Mm-hmm. We don't do that now, guys. And City Manager, I know you disagree with me, but I can't tell you the number of phone calls I got. I had open heart surgery. People were calling me about the tax rate. Just as the gentleman said, all of us that have a homestead got a decrease in taxes last year. Every month. But the poor guy that didn't have a homestead or had a commercial business, he paid for it.
Yeah.
Dr. Abed said, anybody that gets a decrease, somebody else gets an increase. And I know we're talking about the expenses, but it's the revenue too. I don't want to get into that. Like I said, y'all haven't had enough time to look at it. But city rates are significantly higher than they were last year. But we show collecting less money in our budget. That makes no sense, not whatsoever. I guess I'd admonish y'all to look at that 50 pages that was put together. They are doing what they're being told. But my point is, if you tell me I saved $200 for the homestead exemption, but we didn't have time to do it, but we lowered your tax rate, you know what I'm going to say? Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think that what y'all are doing, this is really good stuff, talking about this. And I agree 100% that the residents of Woodway don't move here because of our rate. They move here because of our school. Mm-hmm. They move here because we have good things happening. But y'all have got the chance to hit a home run. And conversation like this does. You start going through that budget, you're going to be shocked at what you see. And I'm going to say this, get it out of the way. There's been a change in the way this city has done the budget in the last 3 years. The last 3 years, you've had almost $1 million surplus every year. The year before that, it's like $400,000 or $500,000. The year before that, it's $19,000. They budgeted more realistically. And a lot of the surplus is coming from that transfer from the tourism plan to cover the Carlene plan. But I'm just saying, it's one of the most important things y'all do.
Thank you, Mr. Moss.
Bottom line, if you save me money on my taxes, I really don't care about it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Moss.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, just a quick word from me. I hope that one day we can do a homestead exemption. I think it's a good thing, but I'm not gonna risk raising the ad valorem. I want to save people money. I want to save people their tax dollars. You know, we pay those up here too. So the more we can save, the better. So that's where I'm at. I look forward to our budget workshop.
I'm okay with putting it off for a year. I'm always for holding down taxes. I probably have stepped on more toes than most, and sorry I do that sometimes, but I'm fighting for the citizens, and it sounds like this might be the best way to do it.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Avent, any?
I would tend to agree.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Keeston, anything?
I fervently believe we have enough in our reserves and our budget where, if not 10%, we could maybe go into 5% and still reduce our tax rate. But listen, I'm open. I'm not going to buck any deck here. So
great. Thank you, sir. All right. Well,
we need to make a motion.
We need to make a motion, but let me make sure we get the wording right, because this is a complicated one. So I like how Donna just leans back. She doesn't want to have anything to do with this. Mr. Shaw, what's the best way to make a motion? It sounds like we're going to lean toward not passing one tonight.
Postponing ordinance?
No, because next year will be a new year. Next year will be a new year.
What you currently have in the tax rate is the $20,000 for the stable.
We want to keep that.
We'll keep that, yeah.
And you have no general homestead exemption.
Okay.
There's no need to pass an ordinance to keep everything as it is.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
So do we need to make a motion?
Yes, but you need to make it like that. So we're keeping the...
Keeping the rates and the exemptions the same as they were for the...
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, I'll make a motion to keep the exemptions the way they was for the last year, the over 65 and the disability.
And no general homestead.
And no general homestead for now.
I'll second that motion. All right, it's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. All right, the ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much. Moving on to item number 4. Consider action on adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
It's been moved and seconded. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned at 6:48 p.m. Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody.
Nathan, I appreciate your spirit of compromise.
My what?
Your spirit of compromise.
Well, I won't be so compromised.